Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning. I'm Linda Jackson, Director of Marketing and Client Service at Winthrop Capital Management. And with me is Adam Koons, our Portfolio Manager.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Also, our Executive Producer and Executive Assistant, Amy Anderson, who is our birthday girl. Happy birthday, Amy.
Oh, happy birthday.
So today we are going to get into the equity strategies. We don't talk about those enough, but I think they're due a little bit of love. So we'll talk today about the screening techniques, our buy-sell strategies, some common characteristics and top holdings of two particular strategies. And the reason we chose these two is because they recently received PSN Top Guns Awards. And what are PSN Top Guns Awards, you may ask? Well, Informant Financial Intelligence has a PSN manager database, which is North America's longest running database of investment managers. And they have awarded our large cap blend strategy the manager of the decade, which means we are one of only 10 firms in the large cap universe to receive this recognition. So it's kind of a big deal. So the large cap blend, Adam, let's get into that a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, what is the large cap blend? What does it invest in and what are we looking for?
A large cap blend is essentially your S&P 500 type actively managed portfolio. So it's really geared towards a low tracking error to the S&P 500. And when I say tracking error, basically means that it's structured similar to the S&P 500. It shouldn't really have volatility that much different than the index. And so it's really going to be your just plain vanilla large cap type strategy.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you look for when you're assembling that portfolio?
Well, it obviously depends because when you're structuring the portfolio, like I just said, in this specific strategy, the security needs to fit into the portfolio in a specific way. And part of that is, you know, the sector allocation. Part of that is the risk allocation and the overall objective of that security. Whether it's, you know, a relative value play, maybe it's just a core holding. So that, you know, piece of the puzzle needs to be met in order to get into the portfolio.
Gotcha. So these are generally medium and large companies that are generating excess free cash flow. So what changes have we made in the last quarter? I know in Q4 2020. Top holdings were Microsoft, I think, was in the top. Apple, Google, Walt Disney.
I mean, we have a heavy tech bias in large cap blend. It is our largest overweight when you combine that with communication services, and you know that worked really well for us in 2020. In 2021, there's been a shift away from growth and technology, for that matter, into more value and oriented security. So that is one of the changes, is that we've begun to reduce some of our holdings in the communication services and adding to names like Simon Property Group. What we're trying to do here is somewhat participate in the shift and the rotation. And we see value in some of these beaten down sectors like real estate. And in a large cap blend, really what we've got here is, as it says, we've got a blend of growth securities and value. So it's, you know, we can tilt in one way or another. I would say in 2020, we were more tilted towards growth. And then here in 2021, we're more balanced. Those are the basic changes we made.
Gotcha. Well, let's get into focused growth strategy next. That was another one of our award winners. We got a PSN 2-star award, meaning the strategy had won the top 10 returns for the year of 2020. So that, again, investing companies with above average revenue and earnings growth, performance momentum, and a sustainable business model for the future. So how did you go about picking the stocks for the focused growth portfolio?
Yeah, so to start with, you know, focused growth back in 2020 returned 48%. So in humility, you know, it was the fact that we were in growth, technology really helped us here. It's kind of hard to go wrong if you were leveraged to that sector. Now, here in 2021, as I said, things have begun to rotate. The portfolio is pretty much flat on the year. And I would say when you look at a trailing 12 months, when you're up that much, you don't want to get ahead of yourselves and saying that everyone's just moving out of technology, because obviously we just kind of front ran a lot of returns and a lot of growth. So when we're building this portfolio, we are looking for, you know, that narrative around growth and business momentum. So, and business momentum is something that I'll come back to quite often in this portfolio, is we want companies who have a strategy to build revenue, to increase earnings, whether that's through, you know, increases in margins, or new business segments that they can lever. So Microsoft is a great example, and you can say that they just got lucky, but, you know, in 2018 when they bought Teams, they didn't know that there was going to be a pandemic.
Yeah.
But I would say that leadership did know that there would be this move just generally towards, mm-hmm. you know, more remote work and just, you know, that type of technology. So it's worked really well for them. And I think it's going to continue to work for them, because from everything I see, this is not a dynamic that's going to change. So that's one example.
Yeah. And Amazon was at the top of our list for those, for that strategy. Is that still the same?
It still is the same. You know, that's one that we're watching closely. Mm-hmm. Amazon Web Services is obviously a big driver of just outright growth, and that growth has been slowing. And Microsoft's cloud business has really been catching it. But at the end of the day, we're still talking about, you know, strong double digit, you know, 20% type returns. And or growth out of Amazon Web Services. So at the end of the day, yes, cloud is getting a little more saturated, but mm-hmm. it is still a growth driver for Amazon.
Any companies in there that might surprise people? I'm thinking like Match.com. That's not one that would normally come to mind to me, but that's interesting. Our philosophy on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's the same dynamic, the same theme around just this shift in how everyone does what they do. And so the way we date, the way we build relationships is changing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was kind of our theme behind Match and all the brands that they have. They've done a really good job of keeping up with the different changes and trends by building other brands and acquiring, you know, other companies like Hinge, mm-hmm. Which is kind of a newer one that's doing really well. So that's that play. The other one that might surprise people is Tencent, a China-based conglomerate. Have their hands pretty much in anything, but it's, you know, one of the big three there in China with Tencent, Baidu, and Alibaba. But the thing we really like about Tencent is they're not so much involved with the government. And so China pretty much leaves them alone, unlike Alibaba, which is a position we've begun to reduce. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, someone might be surprised to see such a, you know, a strong holding in a Chinese company.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think about technology in general? Are we going to shift away from some of those companies, or any changes you're seeing in the coming quarter?
So, yeah, we are trying to reduce really the concentration risk right now. And that's largely driven by just the run that we had last year. I mean, valuations are getting a little bit stretched. And so really what we're trying to do is protect the portfolio when we're reducing tech. It's not necessarily that we think that technology is just going to go backwards and everyone's going to rotate out of it, because we think the opposite. But we don't want such concentrated bets. At current valuations, and just given how hard idea generation is right now, mm-hmm. and when you see it, the difficulty in idea generation start to occur, that's usually a good sign that you should probably start to reduce risk.
Yeah, it makes sense. Anything else you want to talk about this morning?
Well, I mean, I would just say, you know, just at a high level, what worked and what didn't over the last year, mm-hmm. I kind of hit on the fact that being, you know, long technology and growth-oriented stocks worked well. Conversely, here in 2021, being in financials and commodity-based companies like energy has been what's worked. So with a steepening yield curve, rates up, if as long as that continues, you're going to continue to see financials and specifically regional and money center banks do really well. So that's what's worked. On the other side, you know, this year, one of the things that has not worked are semiconductors. So supply chain issues because of the pandemic have restricted shipments. And while you would assume that, hey, you could just raise the prices and just to overcome that, a lot of these have, you know, intermediate term contracts that really lock in prices. So they're not able to shift pricing. So that you've seen those stocks suffer over the last several weeks. So those are just some things that have not worked. And then when we're just looking at an outlook and kind of what we're doing going forward, you know, we talked last week about our outlook for economic growth to be strong in that 6% range. Basically, this intersection of a vaccine that's being adopted plus further fiscal stimulus is just going to drive consumption, increased spending behavior, less savings, which will all be strong growth drivers for the economy, as well as, you know, push on inflation, which may make it difficult for technology stocks to outperform. But long run, we still think technology is the place to be overweight.
Great. Well, I'm sure your team will have a lot to talk about this week. Our investment team, by the way, for you listeners, meets every day. And so they're actively involved in all these portfolios and managing and just understanding the dynamics in the market. So we'll have more to talk about next week. Till then, hope you all have a good day and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.